You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
like everything else. They just were too realistic to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody trying to manufacture
this. The hand was freaking
out. Into the woods.
Female.
Big what creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and we're talking moccasin joke. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and they called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, buddy. I'm mellow, yellow. Yeah, that's right. Gosh darn it. I got to tell you something. This last week has been one hellacious week. We had crews here, there, everywhere. My God. Dan Taylor was down in Georgia. We were down in Kentucky. He sent Chuck Creel and Greg Worthington and headed up by Rob Price up there to northern North Carolina. Alex was out in Arizona with Mr. Waite. My God, there's action going everywhere. Are you guys? Yeah, I know. It's incredible. I'm on this Bluetooth. I'm back on the road, guys. So I just want you to know, if I may hit a pocket there, well, I might lose you, but I'll get back on. But in the event that happens, Marco will cover who else we got up there. Let's do some shout-outs before we get to this fine star-studded show here. Okay, Marco?
By all means, Tom, let's give our friends and family a shout-out. By the way, you're coming over just a little weak. I don't know why, but probably because you're on the phone there on the mountains.
Well, that's the problem. Like I said, you know, it's this damn Bluetooth thing. But I'll give it the best shot I can.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to Terry Garrison. I agree with you, Terry. One day we'll all find that the creature shares this world. Terry was having problems. He emailed me. He says, Tom, you got to tell everybody that the creature shares this world with everybody. Hello? I think you're right. Kelly Creel. That's Chuck Creel's wife, ladies and gentlemen. It was her birthday. Happy belated, darling. Thank you for letting him go away on your birthday. Brian Duff. This is one good buddy down there from Florida. Thanks for your participation, Brian. Can't wait to get down there to find out what you got going. Hey, Frankie, down in Mississippi. Don't think I forgot about you. I got the email. You're doing great. Thank you so much for asking, Frankie. Tom Panic, I like your plan using the dogs and the helium balloons. Give me a call someday. I'd like to go over that with you. It could work. It's crazy enough that it could work. Mike and Michael K. in Ohio. Hi back at you there, good buddy. Glenn Peters says he's a firm believer. Well, join the club, son. We're all out there doing the same thing. Damon Ennis.
You're garbling out, Tom. We lost you. Well, everybody, Tom is in the mountains there in between doing his Bluetooth thing on the cell phone trying to get through to the show. He'll dial right back in here shortly. I'll try to we've had a host of activity going on this week, as Tom said earlier. My gosh, here comes Tom back in again. Yeah, Tom, you on there, right? Oh, one thing, I want to know who 7065 is. Can you tell me? Your last four, 7065.
Me.
Yeah, who's that?
This Chuck.
Oh. Hey, Chuck. I'm sorry.
I'm calling on my cell phone. They canceled flying tonight, so thank goodness. But my regular house phone's out, so I was calling on my cell phone.
I just didn't recognize the number, and I didn't know who it was. Thanks, buddy. Do me a favor. Uh-huh. Click star 6 button, bud.
I'll do her, son.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. I got another number here that I don't recognize. And it's 706, area code 0902. Who's 0902 out there? Oh, I know who it is. That's Greg. You're there. Okay, Greg, gotcha. I do have your number. Greg, can you push your star 6 button? The star button and the 6 button. That's just so that I get back. Thanks. Well, everybody, I'm wasting a little bit of air time here trying to... Is that Tom?
Yeah, it's me. Can you hear me?
You're back again. I've been introducing everybody, trying to... we got some pretty much everybody on here. Greg Worthington got... Chuck came on. He got canceled, so he came on. He's on. And Rob called me just before the show. He'll be on. So we got the full team here as well. And plus, Jody came on. And let's go. You were doing shout-outs.
Well, let me tell you how I got bumped off. Alex Hearn sent me a text message while I was talking to you, and he says he got into a wreck or a tire flattened out or something.
Yeah, I got a bunch of them, too. You get a flat tire.
Okay, nevertheless, I'm back now, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, okay? I think what we need to do is to get out there. Everybody heard of the Tim Peel and North Carolina deal, right, Marco?
Yes.
Okay. That's on the websites. Everybody's part of it. It hit national news, and our team went out there. Believe it or not, there's a guy that we got out of there from Florida that went out on Google Earth and looked it up, and he came up with some astonishing things. Not just that, he had a personal encounter. Let's get out there to Florida and talk to George. George, you out there?
Hold on, George, push your star 7 button, my friend. Okay? Your star 7 button.
This is George in Florida.
There you go, Tom. George.
Hey, George. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine.
Okay. Listen, George, why don't you tell my listeners out there, first of all, your encounter that you had, number one, then most of all, after that, tell them what happened when you went to look at the area of Tim Peel up there in North Carolina through Google Earth, and tell them what you found.
Okay, well, my experience was in February 15th, in fact. It was a beautiful day here in Florida. and I decided to take a drive into the Ocala Forest, which is huge. It's over 600 square miles. It has more than 600 ponds and lakes and plenty of wildlife, so anything could live there. Dense brush. I drove about 3 miles on one of the service roads, a dirt road, into the forest, and stopped to get out and just enjoy the beauty of being alone out there. I look for things that are out of place, colors, shapes, whatever. And I noticed a dark form that looked like head and shoulders that was about a quarter of a mile up the road between two branches of a very large pine tree. So I turned to get in the truck and drive up closer to investigate, and as soon as I looked that way again, it was gone. So I stuck my digital camera out the window as I drove up the road, and I'm snapping photos. Went a little further and decided to turn around and go home. Looked at the pictures on my computer and didn't see anything. But about 3 weeks later, I decided to look at the pictures again, and using very high zoom on the road at the top of the hill is a very distinct human-like form, but dark. And I sent you that picture, Tom. I don't know if you looked at it yet, but...
I did see it, George. I don't know. Did Marco, do you have it?
I also sent you the pictures from Google Earth that I found in North Carolina. I was curious about Ten Pillars' location. And I study Google Earth a lot. I'm one of these fans of that and find some amazing things. So I wanted to see what kind of an area this Tim Peeler character lived in to see if it would be a habitat for a Bigfoot, and it certainly is. As you know, it's nothing but wilderness. I don't think people realize how much wilderness there is in this country. And I'm scanning the area around there, and I saw something out of place, a coloration that didn't look right, so I zoomed in, and as incredible as it sounds, it appears to be someone discharging a firearm at two large, dark forms that are coming up a hill towards the cabin. And, you know, it's amazing that everything that's happening on the earth at that moment, when that picture is snapped, is going to be caught. And I believe that...
Let me ask you this, George. How far was that from Tim Peeler's house?
In miles, I really don't know. I'd have to go back and look at that. The distances are, you know, they're very deceiving on there, but I'm sure there's miles in between, at least a couple of miles in between their houses. There is a pass that goes through the mountain, and if you look at Tim Peeler's backyard and follow that pass through the mountain, it comes out where this apparent shooting takes place. The man is very remote in this cabin and didn't even have a vehicle in his yard. So it's not the kind of person that you know is that socializes.
You know, he called it a gorge. He called it a gorge up in that area. And my God,
gorge.
They were with them for 3 hours. We're going to hear the story coming up. But you know, I got to tell you, it was very interesting how your approach on this whole thing through Google Earth. And I want to thank you very much, George, because it just showed me a whole new way of life looking for this creature.
Yeah, well, I'm going to keep looking, and if I whatever I find, I'll be in touch with you. And I'd like to say hi to Mary and Earl in West Virginia.
Mary and Earl, you heard it first, right?
Mary
here
and Earl,
the live radio show that came from George, first to end. Thanks, buddy, for sharing some of your time this evening with us. And just mute yourself out. We got plenty of show ahead of us, okay?
Yeah, George.
Thank you very much.
George, just hit your *6 button again, and you can listen to the rest of the show.
Okay, thanks.
And thanks for coming on, George. Okay, Tom. Are you still there, Tom? Well, ladies and gentlemen, sorry. Going through the mountains isn't fun, I guess. Our next guest is Tricia. She's been on the show before. Hold on, one, I'm going to get her in.
I'm here.
Okay, Trish. Trish, Bill Appleton didn't make it to the show. There's a couple of people. Alex got a flat tire on the way back from an expedition. He's going to be late. Bill Appleton didn't make it. So, but that's okay. We can still go through and discuss discuss the issue. And basically, about 3 weeks ago, you gave Tom some pictures that you took. And you were on the show at that time. We discussed it. Actually, you gave them to him prior to the show, but we had you on the show that week. And then I think that was Tom had hired Bill Appleton. He's a guy that lives in Sunnyvale, California. And he, are you back there, Tom?
That's me again. I'm sorry, Marco.
That's all right. We got Trish. Trish is on. For your information, Tom, Bill Appleton didn't make it. I'll find out after the show where or why, but he didn't make it on. He didn't dial in yet.
Okay, fine. No problem. But Trish, you on?
Yeah, I'm on. Hi.
Good evening, sweetheart. How are you feeling?
Okay, just fine.
Okay, good. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, you all remember Trish. She's the gal that took all those photos of the female with the baby and the penis and all the other things. Kind of amazing stuff. But at the same point in time, everybody's been saying, what's going on, Tom? What's going on? Well, I got the email, and I'm going to read it to you now. Hi, Tom. There aren't a lot of original pictures on the disc. Most of them have been blown up and enhanced. That's a little dangerous, because given a complex landscape, you can start to imagine things. See the attached picture, blow-up detail, for example. That looks interesting. But when you place it in the context of the detailed source, one, you see the blow-up is in a small area. Compare the red circle area with the cactus at the left, for example. So I don't think that whatever is under the rock is large enough to be of interest. The last attached picture, interesting. An interesting picture, but does not have an original photo. So I can't place that object in context. I would like to see more. Sorry, I don't have anything better. Well, let me tell you, we don't always have to agree with these pros. And Trish happens to be one of those people. She didn't hear from me. I was in Kentucky, and she didn't hear from Marco, and he was on an operating table. So she took it upon herself to call the guy, and she got him. And why don't you tell us, Trish, what he said?
Okay, I got a hold of the guy. Now, you got to remember that I did send originals. I sent 41 photos on that CD. And the CD that I sent, you got to tell them what happened about the dog eating the homework.
Yeah, but nevertheless, it's still the original, and that's what he got.
Right. Okay, 41 photos got on that CD. And I did send the originals, which are very far away, and you have to, like, crop them, then enhance them, then enhance them, then crop them. And I have all that on there, so you can tell exactly how to do it, so you can see it. But when I talked to him, he ended up saying that he was, like, inches tall or a foot tall. Now, I am in a place that has petroglyphs, and those rocks, some of the rocks are 20 feet tall. It happens that the cactus that he said made the things be only an inch or a foot tall happened to be anywhere from 25 to 50 feet. I happen to be in the high desert where you have saguaro cactus. They are anywhere from 3 stories to 5 stories high.
And each story is 10 feet, right?
What?
Each story is 10 feet.
Yeah, each story is 10 feet.
Okay.
So each story.
I just want to let everybody have a grasp of the definition of what you're talking about.
Yeah. In fact, I've got a picture of a friend of mine standing in front of it. And you can take this person with your fingers and go up 6 or 7 times, and that's not a tall saguaro. These are very tall. It's in a rock, almost like a quarry type of thing. But these rocks are so big, to climb up on them, you have to have somebody help you climb up to the second rock. Now, he said that it was very tiny, and that got me very irritated, because here I am taking it across where the creek is, and there's a big opening between where I'm standing and where the ledge is across the way from me. And I sent him originals of each of those. And I just went back a few minutes ago, and I went to the photos that were put on that, and all I did was crop them a couple of times, and you still have the same thing. And there's a Bigfoot lady with the Bigfoot child, along with this guy that's hiding underneath a rock. They're and they're in proportion to each other and in proportion to a 50-foot saguaro. But he told me in person, he said, oh, they've got to be so tiny because the cactus are small. There's not a single part of cactus in there where it isn't taller than you. I mean, the green desert in Arizona is totally green. And everything is large in this one area, especially the rocks. So I do have other photos that show a person in front of the saguaro. I have people that are actually touching petroglyphs in around the same area, and it shows it's gigantic. So for him to say that these things are little because the saguaro is
well,
little.
Trish, what might have happened, you know, looking at the email again, you know, that I told you I was able to look at it, and I, you know, I just thought what he said was he didn't think he had the original photos. He may have. One of the things that you mentioned after that was that you have each of those pictures coded, and so that you can tell if it's been cropped once, twice, enhanced once, whatever.
Because it's very hard to get the same photo twice if you don't know what you did.
Oh, no, I understand. What I'm saying is,
you don't know how big you cropped it.
I don't know if he understood what that code was. I don't think he, nobody, and the other thing is he's looking at a cactus, and I think he probably thinks a cactus is 6 feet tall. You know, like the smaller ones, right? The normal ones, the small ones.
But they only grow in one desert.
Oh, no. Trish, I understand that, and you understand that, but he may not understand that. You see what I'm saying? I mean, he's probably thinking a six-foot cactus, and he's comparing 6 foot with 60 feet or 80 feet. You see what I'm saying?
Well, not only that, but if you zoom in across, you know, way across to the other side to a ledge,
right.
When you zoom in, if that ledge across from you goes in and then comes back out, you can't tell that on your photo. You can tell it if you know it. But that will make one thing closer than the other. Like I have one where I cropped something, and it makes it look like one of those branch things behind a Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
It's right behind it. And yet the original photo, it's way back, like 50 to 100 feet. But when you crop it, it brings it forward because of the depth of vision, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, I understand. And, you know, me and you have talked about this at length, and I understand totally what you're talking about.
Hey, I'm back.
Tom is back, yeah.
Yeah, and
Tom, what were we talking about?
Before I go into this, I was texted 3 times by Alex. Ladies and gentlemen, you know Alex Hearn is, like my own son. He was rushing to get home. He got a flat tire. He's in Arizona. He's coming back from an expedition. He's waiting for AAA to come out and turn the tire. Marco texted him, tell him don't send me anymore. If he needs any help, we'll come out and help him somehow. We'll send somebody out there. But every time he texts me, I get thrown out of here. So please bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. So, all right, so here's what I think we need to do, Trish, and see if you agree with me, all right?
Okay.
Why don't we take some kind of measurements, and why don't we invite Mr. Appleton out there where you're at? Or better yet, if we have your permission, can we post one or two of those on our website, let our listeners look at them and let us see what they think that they are?
Well, see, I don't want to let go of the ones that have the Bigfoot. However, I can let go of the ones that are the exact same area, but it doesn't show the Bigfoot. In fact, One of the ones that is surprising to me is the one with a small waterfall. And with a small little waterfall, I just happened to catch this thing in the corner in the back. And I'll bet you any amount of money that Mr. Appleton never looked at that left-hand corner because there's nothing sticking out of it. I just accidentally saw it. But right behind it is one of those big cactus. So he can tell because it's got the body of the guy, of the Bigfoot. It's got the face that I later blow up to show you the whole face. And it's got two other Bigfoot right next to him. And that is nothing more than, like I said, of a waterfall, but you can't see it unless you know where to look. But he's got everything original. So.
Okay, so why don't you, since you've got his email now, and you took it upon yourself to call him, email him back.
Email. I only have the 1-800 number, so I don't have his email.
Okay, well, when I get stationary tonight, I'll send you his email.
I'll email it for you after the show.
What?
I'll email it for you after the show to Trish.
Yeah, there you go. That's even better.
Yeah. And that way you don't have to wait.
Okay. Because you know me, I was really disgusted with this guy thinking he doesn't know what he's doing if he thinks that's a foot tall.
Yeah, Trish, but I think it's just a misunderstanding, okay? And I think that it can be cleared up. I don't think there was, I didn't have the conversation. You did.
A misunderstanding, because he even told me, those aren't my pictures, so almost like, what do I think I'm doing calling? But technically they were, because it's Tom's putting it in for me.
Yeah.
Said if I put it through a independent lab, that he would go ahead and pay for it. And yet I can't even get information. That wasn't right.
Okay, but let's all try to make nice, and we're all adults here, and let's see what we can do. So do I understand that there's one or two photos that we can put on the website and get the opinions of our listeners out there?
To get the proportions, you mean, of the area? I can do that. I can give you proportions of the area, and then you've got the photos on that one thing will show that is the area where they're at. In other words, that way the thing from the Bigfoot doesn't actually go out to the people, but yet I want them to know that it's real because sooner or later they'll know it. And I want that.
Okay. All right.
So
well, listen,
Trish, what I can do is after the show I'll contact you, and we'll make arrangements, and you can send the ones you want me to post to me, and I'll post them.
Also, can I ask Tom? If I've got a picture of my friend standing in front of a saguaro, but he's way in front of it, so he's actually even smaller, according to the saguaro. But if you want to post that, at least people that have never seen a saguaro will know the size of that cactus. And I think that's...
But I've seen them, I'll tell you, and they do get big. She's right, they get up to 30 feet.
They get up to 50.
Well, I've never seen them that big. I've seen them up to 30, Bo.
Yeah. And so if I show the size of a person next to a saguaro, you'll know how big that we're talking about. And the man is talking to me.
You bet. Listen, Trish, I want to thank you for your due diligence and your obstinance and perseverance. I mean, you're an incredible woman. I'd love to have somebody like that on my team. But you're a bull in the china cabinet, kid. I like you. Do me a favor. And I apologize to your grandchildren, if they're listening, that one week, if there's anything said off color. Nevertheless, just mute yourself out. We got a lot of show ahead of us, and thanks for sharing part of your evening with us. Okay, honey?
Oh, you're welcome. Tell everybody hi.
I will, darling. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Trish out there in Arizona. By the
way, I'm going to mute you out, okay?
Okay.
You done, Marco?
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, okay, good. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Trish out there in Arizona. The woman is, she doesn't take no for an answer. I'll tell you, she's a go-getter. It's the kind of person I like. I was cut off earlier when I was doing some shout-outs, and I want to give my love and concern out to the Bruce Schilt, my brother from another mother out in Montana. They had those damn tornadoes up there. Bruce, if you're listening, I'm sure you are. I hope you and the family and all the relatives are okay. I don't know how far Billings was from you guys or it continued on, but I hope you guys are safe, number one. Another good buddy of mine down in Las Vegas, Andrew Taylor. Andrew, thanks, good buddy, for having the patience of Job. And I can't wait to get going with you on our project with Bigfoot, Bigfoot Lives. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. I sent a crew out on my behalf, and those of you who've gone to BigfootLiveRadioShow.com, the website, or searching for Bigfoot.com, you'll see the excellent work that Marco Bill did by putting all those videos up, posting the articles, and it all stemmed from the great job that Rob Price, Chuck Creel, and Greg Worthington did. They went out there, ladies and gentlemen, represented Searching for Bigfoot and myself, and you can actually see them on film on what they say. They came across so articulate, so wonderfully professional. I take my hat off to each and every one of you guys. We're going to get into that whole story, ladies and gentlemen, about the footprint and about Tim Peeler right out on the other side of this commercial. We got to make some money. Let's go to commercial, Marco.
Here we go.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
like everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
this. The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives.
A movie.
Right now.
At www.
Searchingforbigfoot.com.
Are we still? Am I still on, Marco?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to tell you a story. Those of you who've seen Bigfoot Lives, you know the story. It's an incredible documentary. It's being hailed as the number one Bigfoot documentary around the globe. All right? Just as recently as 2 days ago, I get a call from people who are in the field right now. And they said, Mr. Biscardi, your film is so real, so true, it's incredible. It's because it's from real people telling real stories from the field. And I got to tell you, it is, if you don't have it, get it. Because this will be one of the best Bigfoot documentaries in your library. Can you hear me, Marco? Am I okay?
You're good, Tom. In fact, didn't you get a call today about somebody that's seen that movie?
Yes, I did. I as a matter of fact, the guy who right now is Tim Peeler. And he saw this movie, Bigfoot Lives. As a matter of fact, he's so outdated, antiquated, let's say, he had taken the DVD and had it converted to a VHS to work in his VCR. And it blew his mind. He says, Mr. Biscardi, you and I are probably the only real Bigfoot people around here who've seen this creature. And at that point in time, I told him, no, it's not just you and I. There's thousands around the globe. And as you all know, guys, out there, and that's the truth. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's give the real due to the team that represented Searching for Bigfoot and myself out there in North Carolina. Rob, Chuck, Greg, are you guys on?
Greg, hit your star 7 button.
Are they all on?
See, Rob's on. And Chuck is on. Well, Chuck was on. Chuck, I lost Chuck. But Rob is on right now, and Greg is on. Greg, can you hear? Greg's got his star. You on there, Greg?
Yeah.
Okay. So Greg and Rob are on. We lost Chuck. Chuck was on there just a little bit ago.
Okay, so let's start off with Rob. Rob, don't leave anything out. Tell us everything, how the whole thing got started, when you guys got out there, what you did, who you saw, and how it all unfolded.
Well, how it started was we drove to North Carolina and went to Bows and Ballistic Sporting Goods store to meet up with Rex Lell and his brother Teddy, who had cast a Bigfoot footprint that was found by Port Sloman. It was somewhere around 8 to 12 miles from the area in which Mr. Tim Peeler had his sighting. The reason that we went by to check the casting out first was to compare it to one we brought up from Texas that Chuck provided, and also to get an idea about the waterways and water systems and, you know, what's going on up in that area, you know, what kind of hunters we have, you know, who goes out in the woods in general. After we discovered that the same waterway is connected that runs up to Mr. Tim Peeler's property, then we proceeded over to Tim Peeler's, and the reason we didn't go to him first was because it was kind of on the way to go by the gun stop, and instead of having to backtrack and go back and forth, we ended up doing it in that order, at which time we talked with Mr. Tim. I got his full story interview, as Marco Bill has updated on the webpage, and what we discerned was that he was willing to take us out and try and call in the creature that night while on expedition. We didn't have any luck at that particular time. I can't really tell you as to why or what the problem was, but it's as in hunting anything. I mean, you know, sometimes you go for weeks and months and you don't see anything, and all of a sudden you see something. But my general opinion of the situation is I think that it requires further investigation, at which time we can spend more time in the area and get a better grasp on what's going on.
Let me ask you about the print. What's your evaluation on the print?
The evaluation on the print is, I believe, with all honesty, that it is 100% legit. It's very hard to fake a Bigfoot track that has the two main features of what we look for in any print that's cast, which is a mid-torsal breaking dermal ridges, in which case this casted print, per se, had both of these qualities. It had a mid-torsal break, and it also had dermal ridges, which indicates to me that this was actually a unique track as to... You have other tracks that we've taken in the past, and all of them vary. I mean, there's variations in every track we've ever cast. I don't see why there wouldn't be variation in another track cast in the future. But the thing is it doesn't show any signs that this obvious. It's not an obvious fake. Not to my knowledge. Not to my understanding.
Okay. All right. So hold on there. Let me put you on hold just for a second. Greg, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom.
Okay, Greg. When you saw that cast, when you saw that cast of that print, what do you think?
Well, it looks very good, Tom. It looks real to me. I'm not going to say 100% real, but it looks like it could be the real thing. The only thing that I may disagree with Rob on a little bit is I couldn't see any dermal ridges, and I looked real close, and I think what happened, Tom, is that it is so clean. I think they cleaned that cast with some kind of brush, because you have the same marks on on the track, on the print itself, as you do on the outside of the track where the cast is outside of where the print is. And I think the cast was so clean, I think they may have made a mistake and cleaned the cast. It was just too clean. But other than that, it looked real.
Okay, that's good. Now, hold on. You, Marco, you said we got Chuck on the phone?
But that's correct. Chuck's on.
Chuck, good evening. Thank you for joining us, son.
Yes, sir. How you doing, sir?
Good. Listen, tell me what you think of that casted print.
Well, me and Greg had a little bit of a disagreement on the cast and all, because when he watched the video, he couldn't see a heel print and all that stuff. But when I called him at that time, you know, and he didn't get to watch the whole video. So honestly, I don't see how somebody could do something like that. Are you there, Tom?
I'm here. I'm listening to you.
Okay, got a bad signal. I believe that print is real. I'm on Rob's side, but I believe Greg, you know, being skeptical, you got to be a skeptic in this business and all that stuff. But I believe it's a real print.
Okay. All right. Now let me stop you out right now, both of you, all three of you. You know, I've been doing this a long time. I take everything into consideration. I take the guy, Pork Lohman, who found the print, and then Rex and his brother, who have that independent TV station, came out and cast it. They put a pail over it to cover it, yada, yada, yada. I only have a problem. Let me tell you the problem that I have is the toes. Take a look at those toes, gentlemen. They're too perfect for me. Okay? They're too rounded and perfect. There's not one that's different than the other that you would see. Look at your own toes. Okay? Now, the thing that came to my mind when I met the guy before he died was a guy named Ray Wallace. Any of you guys remember that name?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, Ray Wallace had those rounded-out toes. I'm not saying that this is a fake print, because there is a mid-torsal break, and there is dermal ridges. And besides that, there's a damn nail print in there that I can actually see. Now, the only thing how I could get away with saying why the thing came out so rounded was because of the traction and the grip. Because apparently, as I'm seeing it, I'm thinking that it's only one print, because it was a 10-foot road path, and he was on a move or on a run, and one of his prints hit there, and because he's such a big son of a gun, the other print hit some hard pan or grassy area, okay? So therefore, as he's gripping with the toes, it's going to go deeper and make those indentations. Now, hey, look, I don't know what the knobby looks like out in that area. Apparently, they're light-colored, they're long-bearded. I'm hearing the stories from 30 years ago also. But this is a great conversation between three great people to show that, ladies and gentlemen, they maybe not don't all agree, because they all see something differently. And that's the greatest thing in the world. That proves one thing. That we all have our own opinions, just like we all have all our own other... I was going to say something, but I caught myself. But now, let's get into the meat and potatoes here. From there, you guys went to see Mr. Peeler. I want you to tell the audience, guys, what the weather was like and how many hours you were in the field and your observation.
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, we started out there at Mr. Tim's house, where we were earlier that day. We got there actually around 5 p.m. their time, and set out our game cams, trip cameras, all that good stuff out in the woods. We already scouted the area out around his house, the area from which the creatures came out of the woods and went back into the woods and reemerged again, and then left the property. And we got to talking with Mr. Tim after we got camp set up. It was sometime around the vicinity of 10 p.m. This horrendous torrential lightning storm and thunderstorm, rain and everything else, and winds come in, blew and knocked and beat it for about an hour and a half, and it was getting to look like we weren't going to get to do anything out in the field that night because of the danger of getting struck by lightning up on top of on a mountain. And so we stayed there at Mr. Tim's house for a little while and waited for it to blow over. Well, fortunately, it blew out. And around 11:30, 11:45 p.m., Tim offered to take us out into the woods and see if he can't, in different locations other than this, another location which he had previously had an encounter some odd 5 years earlier, and see if he couldn't call in a creature for us to get some pictures of and observe. So we went out on this mountain road through a subdivision that's being developed now. It hasn't come to fruition. Only there's a few houses out in the front, but the ones in the there's nobody moved into the back section of the property yet, which is it stretches for probably 2,000 or 3,000 acres. And so we're winding up through these mountains and canyons, going on these roads that are not maintained. We arrive at our destination at one destination, which he says we ought to try right here first and see if we get any kind of response. So we stop the car and step outside. Tim starts to call. He calls for roughly 20 to 25 minutes, different, you know, various calls. I'm not going to say exactly what, because that was one of our understandings with Mr. Tim, is that we would not, you know, say anything other than the fact that he did call and try and call Bigfoot in. We're not going to say what kind of call that he used to do this or anything like that, as agreed with Tim. And at that time, we didn't get anything. We got in the car, rode for about another 45 minutes, still going away from civilization, back in these wilderness mountains areas. We stop again and repeats the process again. We go through and we sit there. We actually think we might hear something all faintly in the brush. Come to find out, I'm pretty sure I feel filled with some pretty, you know, pretty strongly that it was nothing more than a wild boar that was screaming that we'd upset, not very far from the vehicle. So we get back in the car, and we drive again for another hour. It's somewhere around 3 in the morning at this time now. We're probably an hour and a half, 2 hours from Tim's house, and it's just because of the quality of the roads and whatnot. It's actually about, probably as the crow flies, 15 to 16 miles away from his house, and we call again. And at this time, I believe we saw a raccoon or something like that out in the distance. That's all I can, you know, pretty much equate it to, is because its height was only probably about 2'6" off the ground. That's getting a little eye shine back all along, but I figure it's a raccoon or some kind of, maybe a rodent climbed up in a tree or something. Nothing of any size. And Tim says, well, boys, I guess you can't get them every time. So, you know, we packed it up and headed back in. Sometime around the hour, you know, 4:30 in the morning, we got back into camp that night. A lot of people don't realize exactly how Tom rolls. I don't think Chuck and Greg were quite ready for the, you know, the rate of speed at which we went through things. You know, no sleep, just we go sleep deprivation. We got up, you know, at 4 in the morning. I got in from work earlier. I pulled a 14-hour day. Drove straight down to Chuck's after taking a shower, jumped in there and got about 4 hours of sleep, jumped in the car. We took off up to North Carolina, about 11-hour drive from Chuck's house after picking up Greg and making another stop or two that needed to be made, and doing the interview and then going and staying up all night the next night, doing the setting up camp, doing the actual research field work, and then packing back up and leaving before 8 a.m. the next morning and driving all the way back home. So, you know, most people aren't ready for that level of commitment or that level of I don't know what the proper term here is to describe that, but a fortitude, let's put it that way, to do this. But I can assure you that Tom will explain that in great detail. Level of fortitude it takes to be a Bigfoot researcher.
I got to tell you, Rob, you did an excellent job. What was your overall opinion of Tim Peeler?
My overall opinion of Tim Peeler is we don't have a lot of evidence right now. It's something that needs to be looked at under under more scrutiny in the future. We need to go back up there, we need to set up shop, and we need to do what we do. Bottom line is, right now, as far as to what he's saying and whatnot, we have no evidence supported either way from, you know, a standpoint of not being opinionated at all. I mean, my opinion does not matter in this, because what we do is simply search for the truth, and we have to tell it like it is, because that's what we do. But my opinion, since you're asking me what it is I believe that Tim Peeler believes that he saw what he says he saw. Now, beyond that, I can't go into any specific details, because I, you, nor nobody else was there to verify.
Okay, stop. Don't say no more. Thank you. Chuck, you on the phone?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What kind of weather conditions hit you guys that night?
Say it again, Tom. You broke up.
I said, what kind of weather conditions hit you guys that night?
It wasn't fun, to be honest with you. Old Greg set up the tent and everything, and it come a torrential rain and bad lightning storm and all that stuff, and thank God we did get our cameras up and everything before it hit, but it wasn't fun, to be honest with you. Thank God Mr. Peeler let us get underneath his porch, because it was that bad.
Okay, so I noticed on the pictures on the website you were setting up the game cameras, right? Trail cameras?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you did an excellent job, by the way. You really did an excellent job. I want to know now, what was your personal opinion of Tim Peeler?
Lord, I don't want to make nobody mad, Tom.
It's not a point
to
make anybody mad. And, you know, my mama used to say, God rest his soul, if you don't have something nice to say about somebody, don't say it. So we'll pass on you. Thank you. And let's go to see Greg. Greg, you on?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom.
Okay. Now, I know you're opinionated, but you're a quiet guy. So tell me, in a one-sentence evaluation, what do you think of Tim Peeler?
I think he's jumping in, just trying to jump on the bandwagon here after what we found.
Thank you very much.
Let me tell you what I called him in, Tom.
Tell me.
I was talking to him, just trying to get some questions, just some things answered for myself. After Rob got through talking to him, I wanted some answers for myself. And, you know, Tom, I've talked to a number of people who've seen this creature. I've never seen one, but I've talked to a number of people who've told me they've seen this creature, you know, different areas of the country. My dad saw one. And what my dad told me he saw, and from what other people told me they've seen, their descriptions match each other. What Mr. Peeler is describing to me don't match anything that what other people's told me. So that kind of threw a little concern in there for me. The second thing that I was concerned about is I asked him, I said, Mr. Peeler, would you tell me about your dog that got killed? How did you find him dead, and what was done to him? What killed him? He said,
got him in a lie, didn't you, Greg?
He said, I never said it was a dog killed. I said, really? And Chuck was inside the tent. He heard me asking this question. And he said, I never said anything about a dog being killed. Well, you can listen to his 911 call, and in his 911 call, he said, this thing has done killed one of my dogs. Well, now he's telling me that he's never had a dog killed. So that right there threw a kicker in it for me right there. And then the next morning after we got through breaking camp, another thing, the only way we could set up camp there is we had to pay him $25. We had to pay him $25 to set up camp. So then the next morning when we was breaking, after we broke camp to leave his place, start heading home, we stopped at Shelby, North Carolina for breakfast. And after when we was leaving the restaurant, I thought I'd just kind of walk over to the newspaper stand to see if I could see anything about a creature being on the front page of the paper. Well, guess what? I found a paper at creature. I seen the word creature. I said, I wonder if that's the same thing we're up here hunting. So we got a paper and got looking at it. And the whole, it was on the front page of the paper, and it's about a small town in North Carolina called Kezar, North Carolina, and they're marketing a creature called Nobby. They have T-shirts, they have signs in front of the stores, and a guy's made a DVD, a song about Nobby, and I think that Mr. Peeler seen the, and guess what? That's the same town Mr. Peeler lives in, Kezar, North Carolina. I think Mr. Peeler saw a chance for himself to cash in on a little bit of what the town is doing, and he had an encounter and called it in. Hello?
Greg, that's a great, great evaluation, personal evaluation from you. Rob, did you see that same newspaper?
Yes, I saw the same newspaper in which Marco Bill received has verified today that he received a copy of the PDF file that I emailed him to upload it and put it out there for everyone to see. Like I said, we're not in the business of, you know, anything like that. What we do is legitimate stuff, and we put the truth out there as we find it. And like I said, it's as we find it.
You know, and that's exactly what was done, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to hear real close what I'm going to tell you. Here's three different guys went out there. They have three different opinions, but they're similar in most. But that's all we're doing. We're putting it out there for you to see. And guess what? This is the only team that's been out there in the Bigfoot field, okay? Searching for Bigfoot, affiliation of myself, and these guys. You still got your horn out there, Marco? Give them a toot for me, would you please?
You got it.
SFBI. You know what?
SFBI.
Right.
Mr. Tom, SFBI right. Went out there and found out that there ain't nothing to it.
You guys did a hell of a job.
1 minute, Tom.
One did a hell of a job. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Rob, Chuck, Greg. Keep up the good work. Till next time, America, kudos and salutations from the Bigfoot Hunter.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is like everything else. They just were too real.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody turned their hand
around. The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Jabba Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. Put them together, reason for the facts.